The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the Tfilos for the Rosh Hashanah, Tshuva Tfila Utsdoka. Mavirin es reya hakzera. Tshuva, which is repentance. Tfila, which is prayer. Stoka, which is charity. Mavirin es reya hakzera. Can turn back the evil decree. And one of the paramount avodas, one of the paramount efforts which is made under Rosh Hashanah and the days prior to Rosh Hashanah and during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva is that of Tefillah. And it's befitting that we should be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hayom Haras Olam, the world was conceived on this day, and every year HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on his throne, Kisei HaMishpat veKisei Rachamim, on the throne of judgment and the throne of mercy. We call by Eila Mavirin Alav, Mavirin Lefonov. And all creations pass before him, and he judges everyone as the Melech HaOlam, as the King of the world. And therefore, it is befitting that a paramount feature of the days of Rosh Hashanah is that of Tefillah, where the creations are mispalel, they pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they beseech him for their needs. Like the Gemara tells us that everyone must always be mispalel al chaye bonai umezenai, for his life and for his children and for his sustenance. Therefore, this evening, let us give some attention to this topic of tefillah and see what we can learn from it. The sages tell us, tefillim mehadvorim she'emdim berume shalelo. The power of prayer, in particular by Israel, is from those things which stand at the greatest heights of the world. And this is for many reasons. One reason, zchus ha'tfilah, the merit that Klal Yisrael has, the privilege to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be mispalel. Because if we would give thought to it, if there is a mighty king, a human king, not anyone is allowed to go to him, even periodically, certainly at any time that he wishes. Love l'shar ha-melech, to come to the gates of the king, v'lishol sorcha b'chol eishir yirtze, and to ask from him his needs whenever he wants, and certainly when he speaks to him, he does not speak to him b'loshon neichach directly, but always he would address him as the king in the third person. Yet Klal Yisrael was given the zchus, the privilege, that whenever they want, they can come to the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the King of all kings, and they speak to him directly, Baruch Ato Hashem, You are the Lord our God. Atochonein lo Adam das. You are the one who gives to us knowledge. And we request from him whatever we want. And we do not have to appeal through an ambassador or through a consul or an emissary. In the Tfilas of the Slichas, which we will be saying next week, there is one Tfila which begins Machnisei Rachamim, which means that the angels of mercy shall carry our prayers to the throne of the Almighty. And on this Tfila, there was a great debate. Many held that this Tfila should be removed from the Slichas. What does it mean, Machnisei Rachamim, that the angels of mercy should carry our prayers to the throne of the Almighty? We don't appear before the angels. We don't give our prayers to them. We come directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is one aspect of tefillah which is wondrous. The Klal Yisrael is given the schus to be mispalel bifnei melech malchei hamlochim, the king of all kings, b'chol eshet yirtzu, whenever they wish, whenever they desire. A second aspect of tefillah, which requires great explanation. What is this whole concept of bakoshes tzorchos? That we come and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our needs. Why is it necessary? And why should it be allowed? He's the monarch of the world. He'll do as he pleases. What does it have to do with what we will ask from him, or what we will tell him or appeal to him? And on a daily basis. And is there a shinui? Is there change by the Almighty? If he decides one way, are we capable of changing his mind? There is no change or no inconsistency by the Almighty. And if we are zeche, if we merit it, then why do we have to ask for it? And if we do not merit it, then what good is the asking? So what is this entire concept of bakoshes tzorchov, to ask our needs, which the Gemara tells us is ha'ikar ha'tfilah? This is the basic tefillah. Rachamim v'tachnunim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should appeal and beseech the Almighty for all of our necessities. And also, what kind of avoda, what kind of service is this to the Almighty? When we are taught, Al tiyo ke'eved ha'mishamshim ke'avodim ha'mishamshim esarav al-manas lekabel pras, that we should not serve the Almighty on the condition to receive reward. The entire tefillah is on the condition to receive reward. We come and we ask for das, for a knowledge, and we ask for atonement, and we ask for health, and we ask for sustenance, panoso. The entire exercise is a manas lekabel pras, on the condition to receive reward. A third aspect of the tefillah. Shlema HaMelech wrote in Mishlei Chof Aleph, Tefillas Yeshorim Ritzenei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillas of the Yeshorim, of the upright. We have many sources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the prayers of Yisrael. Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh l'tfilosin shel tzadikim. The Almighty has great passion and desire for the prayers of His righteous. What does He need their prayers for? Why does He want them? So we have these basic queries on the entire concept of tefillah. That tefillah is something which becomes part of the everyday life of man. Something very close to him. Yet at the same time, it's a concept which is very foreign from human understanding. The privilege to go right to the king and to ask from him whatever we want directly. And the whole concept that we ask and we expect to be answered, and without asking we will not receive it. And it's a service only on the condition to receive something. And this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu awaits our tefillos. What does He need them for? The first foundation that one must realize in approaching this subject is that the Sheirish, the source of all tefillah, is in the Avedis Beis HaMikdash. The serving in the Beis HaMikdash, the serving of the korbanos, of the sacrifices in our temple. The Gemara brings in Masechta Tainis and Av Beis Omer Aleph from where do we know that a Jew should be mispalel, that a Jew should pray? It states, La'ava es Hashem elekeichem ula'ovdei b'chol avavchem. States in Dvorim Yud Aleph that you should love the Lord your God and you should ovdei, serve him as an eved, serve him as a servant to a master, b'chol levavchem, with all of your heart. So the Gemara says, Ezehu avedu, she believe. What kind of service to a master is there with the heart? All the time, the avoda refers to the service of the Beis HaMikdash. That is called the avoda. That was the service of the korbanos, of the sacrifices. But here we see that the Torah is referring to lo'ovde, you shall serve him as a servant to a master, but levavachem, with your heart. A servant usually serves with his body. From here we learn that there's a service with the body and there's a service with the heart. The service with the heart, this refers to tefillah, that of prayer. We see that it's termed with the same classification as the avodas Beis HaMikdash, the serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And this we have many sources for. For example, the Gemara brings in Brochas Daf Chof Vov Amud Beis the tefillos, the main tefillos that we have, the Shachris, the morning tefillah, the Mincha, the afternoon tefillah, the Mariv, the evening tefillah. They were enacted in accordance to the Tmidim. They were enacted in accordance to the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a morning korban, the Tomid Shel Shachris. There was an afternoon sacrifice, the Tomid Shel Ben Arboim. And at night, there was the Haktoras Emurin, the burning of the pieces of the korbanos on the altar, which was all night. And through this, after this, the tefillahs were styled. Another set source. The Gemara tells us the Beis HaKnesses, the place for tefillah, is Migdash Me'at. This is considered a miniature Beis HaMikdash of the temple. Or another source yet, it states, and we say this in the tefillahs, Unishalmo Porim Sposecho, that when I pray to you, I will give to you the bulls, the bullocks of my lips. Just as I bring sacrifices to you, I will also bring words of prayer, which the words of prayer will be in the places of the sacrifices. So we see that the tefillah has its foundation in the Avedis Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, if we are to understand the tefillahs, we must first understand what was the concept of the Avedis Beis HaMikdash. Every Jew, in relation to his Creator, has a dual role. He relates to his Creator as a ben lo'ov, a son to a father. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ovinu. And he relates to his Creator as an eved lemelech, as a servant to a king. We call the Almighty Malkeinu Adon. And many mitzvahs take on the role of a son to a father, and others a role of a servant to a king. Avoda, the service of the Beis HaMikdash, which was called Avoda because of the name Eved, this refers to that of a servant to a king. The essence of a servant is that of Yiris Ha'odein Olav. The fear of the master is over him. And it is this reason why we find that everything that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash had to do with a great awe and respect. For example, states Yiri Yisera Mitztavel Al HaMikdash. We were commanded that we should approach the place of the Beis HaMikdash with the greatest of respect. Shneemar Es Mikdoshai Tirou, as it states that you shall fear my Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we do not go there unless we are in a state where we can go. We are not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash with the dust on our shoes, with our walking stick, with our money bags on our belts. And the same with the Beis HaKnesses. We come into a shul, there has to be Yere Yisera, an additional fear, an additional respect, as one would approach the palace of the king. And this is why in the Beis HaMikdash it consistently states the shores, that when the kahanim would do the avodah, the shores, the amido, they would serve as a servant serves his master. There's a second aspect, however, to that of a servant serving his master. And that is where he is entirely dependent on his master. Nitle legamri al rabbi. A servant is not independent. His entire essence relies on that of the master. Therefore, this is a second aspect in avoda. He comes to serve, and he approaches the master with great respect and fear, and at the same time, he realizes that his entire life relies and depends on the master. Evid gufei konei. The Gemara says a servant is an acquisition of the master. Masha konei evid konei rabbi, whatever he owns, the master owns. He has nothing on his own. And therefore he relies and he depends and he leans entirely on the master. So therefore, when the servant serves his master, two things are happening. He's giving himself over to the master. He's not a worker. He's not an acquaintance. But he's a servant to a master, where he is entirely owned by the master. And therefore he is giving himself over to the master. That's from the servant's aspect. And a second thing happens from the master's aspect. Through the service of the servant, just as the servant becomes a servant, the master becomes a master. Because if there was no servant serving him, he would not be a master. The Gemara tells us, Ein melech b'lei am. A king that does not have a nation serving him is not a king. He can be a king on paper. He can be a king on title, but this is nothing. This is totally insignificant. This is fiction. A master is a master, and a king is a king, because he has servants, because he has a nation. So therefore, two phenomena come out through avoda shel eved. When the servant serves his master, he is a servant to him. He's entirely reliant upon him, dependent upon him. He's losing his own identity, and the master is becoming a master. And this is what took place with Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a very, very deep concept. When Yisrael would come and they would serve in the Beis HaMikdash and they would bring their sacrifices, they would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through their wealth, because they would buy their sacrifices, they would buy their animals. The law is that they must own them, and they would give them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would put them on the altar and return them to the source which they came from. And in this way, they were serving him. So they were becoming avodim, they were becoming his servants, and he was becoming their master. And a further dimension was attained. The Midrash tells us What was unique about the Beis HaMikdash? Because all of the nations of the world, they served many gods, and they had many kahanim, they had many priests, and they had many places, and they had many mizboches, many altars. But Klal Yisrael, they had one place to serve, Yerushalayim, Har HaBayis. They had one altar, one Kohen Gadol, and one master. And this means that everything was being directed towards one master. And Yerushalayim, the Gemara tells us, is Be'emsa Eilam. It's in the middle of the world. And the Beis HaMikdash is in the middle of Yerushalayim. And the Mokam HaMizbeach, the place of the altar, this is from the very center point of the world. Which means that they were bringing from all parts of the world and bringing it in one direction to their master. So not only was HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming a master, but was becoming revealed his Achdus Be'olam, his oneness, his singleness. Every nation went and they served in any direction. Whether they served the fire or the rains or the mountains or the rivers, or whether they served philosophical concepts or atheistic concepts or idolatrous concepts, it was in all directions. But Klal Yisrael, that would bring from all over to one place and to bring it to their master. Not only was HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming the master of Israel, but he was becoming the master, the single master over the entire world. And this is why that we find in the Parshas HaKorbonis, in the Torah, which deals with sacrifices, the name of Hashem that is always used is the Shem Havayah, the explicit name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that signifies his oneness. Because through the sacrifices, his oneness was revealed. So if we stop to think now, through the Beis HaMikdash and its service, Yisrael were becoming servants to Hashem. If someone who serves a master merely by work, so certainly if someone brings his wealth to the Almighty, they were becoming servants with the great trepidation and awe of the master over them, and the total reliance on the master. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was becoming the Odin HaKol, where he also was becoming one in this manner. In the same manner is the Avedis HaTfilah, the serving through Tfilah, which is learned from the Avedis Beis HaMikdash. Because when one comes to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Tfilah, through prayer, the Gemara says, this is Avedis Shebalev. Ba'avartem b'chol levavchem. You shall serve with your heart. This means that you must serve him not with your body, not with your money, but with your heart. You must give your heart to him. And in this way, you become his servant. And you become reliant on him. And in this way, he becomes your master. And if all of Israel comes and then mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they pray to the Almighty. They do not pray in other directions. And they give their hearts to the Almighty. They become his servants and he becomes their master. And is revealed in him now a perfection of oneness. This is the Avodas HaTfilo, which stands in place of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. Now with this we can understand many things. A person therefore should realize that the ultimate of prayer is to be makasher, to bind the servant to the master and the master to the servant. This is the ultimate of the prayer. If the servant does not need the master, if he needs nothing from him, then he's not a servant. He's not acquired by him. He's not reliant on him. And in turn, the master is not a master. But if his entire entity needs the master, then he's a servant. And then the master is a master. So the ultimate in prayer is the bond that is created between the Eved, the servant, and the Rabbi, and the master. This is why it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rotzo b'tfilas yeshorim, why he wants the tfilas of the upright. It's not that he's interested in the tfilas. It's not that he needs the prayers. He needs and he wants this bond. He wants Yisrael close to him, and that he should be close to Yisrael. Because in this way, just as the servant attains perfection, the Almighty also attains his perfection. His perfection is a complete oneness. If the creations are bound to him, then there's a perfection, there's a complete oneness. If the creations stray away from him, then there's a lacking in the oneness, there's a lacking in the perfection. And everything seeks its perfection, and so does the Almighty. Therefore the Almighty seeks the prayers of Klal Yisrael. Therefore it states, Tfilas Yeshorim Ritzenei, the prayers of the Yeshorim, of the upright, is what he desires. It also states, Terem Yikru V'Ani Yeshmo. Kodesh Baruch Hu says in regards to his righteous, before they will call to me, I will listen, I will hear them. I hear them before they call to me. What does that mean? What does it mean that he hears them before they call out to him? It means that he is ready and waiting to hear from them. He does not react to them merely because they call to him. He is waiting before they call to him, that they should call. And when they call, then he answers immediately. Because he seeks their tefillahs. He seeks this bond the bond which unites the servant to the master. And this is what the sages say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaver litfilosin shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the prayers of the righteous. The Medrash tells us in Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, we find that the Imos, the matriarchs, were Akoris, were barren. Sora was barren. And Rivka was barren. And Rochel was barren. And the Medrash asks why. Lomo hoyu Imos Akoris. Why were the matriarchs barren? So the Medrash answers, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kulan Noos, Kulan Ashirais. They were all beautiful. They were all wealthy. If they would all have had children in a very easy manner, then they would not have needed me. Therefore, I made them Akores, in order they would be forced to be mispalel, to appeal to me. What do we see from that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted their tefillos. Why did he want their tefillos? Not that he was interested in the tefillos. He wanted them. The master wants the servant. Because without the servant, he is not the master. And then he's lacking. And the king wants his nation. And if he doesn't have his nation, then he's not a king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Israel. Therefore he made the Imos, the matriarchs, he made them Akoris. From here we can understand another point. Shlema HaMelech said, just as tefillos yeshorim ritzeinoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the tefillos of the upright, zevach rishoyim te'eva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects the zevach rishoyim, the prayers and the sacrifices of the wicked. It's repugnant to him. Now generally, a king, a humanly king, he wants everyone to serve him. He wants gifts from everyone. He wants tribute from everyone. There's no difference if they are righteous or if they are wicked. The main thing is they should come and serve him and bring him tributes and bring him gifts. So why does it, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does it say Zevach Rishoyim Te'evo? HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects the sacrifices of the Rishoyim. Tfilas Yeshorim Ritzeinai. He wants the tfilas of the Yeshorim, of the upright. Because by a king of flesh and blood, he's interested in what's being given to him. What's the difference who the giver is? As long as they're giving to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in what's being given to him. He doesn't need the sacrifices. He doesn't need the prayer itself. He doesn't need the lip service. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested not in what is being given to him. He's interested in the giver. He's interested in the bond that will be created between the giver and the recipient in order that it can attain a perfection of one. If the giver is a Yeshorim, if the giver is righteous, then he wants what he has to give. Because by giving it, a bond will be created. If the giver is a Rosho, a wicked person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a bond with a wicked person. A king of flesh and blood, he's interested in the gift, or he's interested in what's being given to him. So it makes no difference who the giver is. Not so with the Almighty. He doesn't need what's being given to him. He doesn't need the sacrifices, and he doesn't need the words which are being said to him. through the sacrifices and through the words, he acquires his servants. He's interested in the servants. If the servants are Yeshorim, if they are righteous, then he wants them. This way there will be a perfection in the world. The two worlds will become one. If the giver is a rosho, an evil person, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want a bond with such a person. That will not create a perfection. Therefore, zevach reshoim te'evil. The zevach, the sacrifice of a rosho, is te'evil, is rejected. And this is halacha. If a Jew, even a Jew, will bring a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash for a chet, for a transgression, first he must do tshuva. If he does tshuva, then the sacrifice is accepted. If he doesn't do tshuva, then it's a zevach rishoy. It's the sacrifice of a rosho. It's a te'eva. It's repugnant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not accept it. And therefore the Gemara says, Rachmono liba boy. When a Jew stands to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you merely say words to the Almighty, then you have failed in the essence of what tefillah is. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the words. Rachmona liba boy, he wants the heart of the person. Shizui avedi shebelev. Because through the heart, he acquires the servant. Therefore, he is not interested in what is being given. Rather, he is interested in who is giving it. Zevach reshoim te'evo utfiles yeshorim. This is what is meant in the Mishnah in Masechta Oves, the second Mishnah of the first Perek, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'olam Aymed. The world stands on three principles: Al Atero, Al Aveda, Al Gmilas Chasodim. Stands on the principle of Torah, an avoda, which is the service of the Beis Hamikdash, and the tefillahs, and gemilas chasodim, that of acts of kindliness one to another. The reason for avoda is as we explained. What does it mean that the world stands on these three principles? What does it mean, stand? It means kipshutei. It means in the simple sense. The world must have a foundation. Tola eretz al blima. We say in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the world and he extended it in nothingness. But still there must be something that's holding it. Yes. There are three bonds which hold it. And if not for those bonds, then there would be no Amida, there would be no foundation for the world. And what is a bond? A bond is which ties the world to its creator. The creation to its creator. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want that the world should stray in space aimlessly, but rather that it should be bound to him. And he bound it three ways. And one is through avoda. Because as the creations bring themselves to him with their service to a master, and the master thereby becomes bound to the servants, so now the world is anchored to him. Therefore, al avoda, al gimel dvorim, al elim, al made. The world stands on these three principles and three pillars. And one is avodah. Why the other two? This the Maral explains. Because man, who is the world? When we speak of the world, we speak of man. Because man was the ultimate perfection of the world, and he encompasses the entire world. The sages tell us that Adam is an olam koton. He is a world in his own right. Man was given three sections. He was given a guf, the physical body. He was given a nefesh, which is the power of life. Like we see that when man dies, the physical body remains, but the life has departed from him. He was given the nefesh, the power of life. And he was given the seichel, the power of intelligence, of knowledge. And each part of man who represents the world must have a way in which he can bind itself, or it can bind itself, to the master of the world. Otherwise there's no amida. Otherwise there's no foundation. Gemilas Kasodim, these are the mitzvah shebeguf. A man does acts of kindliness to his fellow man. All mitzvahs which have to do with acts between man and his fellow man. Chesed. These are the mitzvahs of the physical body. Through this, the physical entity has a kesher, has a bond with the Almighty. The nefesh sheba odom, the power of life in man, and this comes from the heart. The Gemara tells us from the blood, the dam hi nefesh, the blood which has its source in the heart. This is the avoda, because the avoda was avoda shebelev, it was the service of the heart. And in the Beis Hamikdash, it was almost also called nefesh. It states, nefesh ki yakriv mincha. Kiilu hikrives nafshay. That when a person brought a sacrifice, it says, it's as if he brought a life, his own life, to the altar. And then Torah, which is the bond between the knowledge and intelligence of man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, I'll give old Vorim ha'elam ha'imed. The world stands because of three pillars: HaTorah, Va'avedah, Gemilas Chasodim. And this means that the world is bound to its creator in three ways. Without these bonds, then the world would be aimlessly drifting without a source to its creator. In regarding what we are saying, the avoda, when Klal Yisrael came in the Beis Hamikdash, they were binding the creation to the creator with avoda, with the service of the life of man. Or through the tefillos, the service of the heart of man. And this also is what the Gemara tells us in Brachas and Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us the three tefillos. We have tefillos Shachris, tefillos Mincha, tefillas Mincha, and tefillos Maariv. Where did they come from? So the Gemara says from two sources. One source, to always tiknom. The Ovis, they were the ones who designed them. Abraham, He was the one who designed Tfilah Shachris. He was Mispalel Shachris, the morning Tfilah. Yitzchok, Tfilas Mincha. Yitzchok was Mispalel the afternoon Tfilah. Yaakov, Tfilas Arvis. He was Mispalel Marav. It says Abraham, it brings that he stood at this place, and this was in the morning. And by Yitzchok it said that he went Lasuach Basode as the sun was setting. This was Mincha. And Yaakov, when he came to he sailed to the place of the Beis Hamikdash, and the sun set, and there he was Mispalel. That was Tfilas Arvis. Then the Gemara tells us another source, the Tmidim. They were styled after the sacrifices of the Beis Hamikdash. Every morning, without exception, there was the morning sacrifice, the Tomin Shel Shachar. Every afternoon, without exception, there was the afternoon sacrifice, the Tomin Shel Ben Abay. And at night was the Haktoras Emuri. At night, these sacrifices were burnt on the altar, the entire night. And therefore the three tefillahs were styled and designed after these sacrifices. Now what is the explanation of this? Again, the binding of the world to its creator. In the morning, the world has different phases. We shouldn't think that time just goes by and nothing really is happening. There are magnificent creative forces that the Almighty put into the world. The morning, the afternoon, the night. These are different forces. The morning is the beginning of the physical world. And this is why the east, where the sun rises, is called Kedem, the front of the world. That's the beginning of the physical world. Because the sun is the physical king appointed to guard the physical universe. Kodesh Baruch Hu made the creation. He appointed the king as the memshola, as the meshel, as the ruler over the universe. And the sun rules with its magnetic force. It keeps the entire universe in order, as is appropriate for a king. And in the morning, when the sun rises, the Zrichas HaShemesh, in the east, this is why it's called Mizroch, because there is the Zrichas HaShemesh, the beginning rays of the sun. This is the beginning of the physical world. The nations of the world always served to the east. Why? Because they recognized this fact. They recognized that the sun was the most powerful entity in our physical world. And they recognized that the source of this entity was in the east. And therefore they always served east. We were commanded that at the rising of the sun, the beginning of the day, instead of serving the sun, we should serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, a sacrifice was brought every day at that time, not to the sun, but to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to recognize that all of the energies and the brachas that were pouring into the world at the beginning of the physical day This did not come from the Son. The Son was merely the emissary of a greater creator. But this came from the Almighty. Therefore we brought a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning of the day. And therefore a tefillah was enacted, that at the rising of the sun we're mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to the sun, but to the source of the sun. And this binds the morning, the beginning of the world, not to the sun, but to the Almighty. And this was Avraham's tefillah. Why Avraham? Because Avraham also was the beginning. And therefore this was appropriate that he had recognized this. Avraham was the beginning of the light in the world. It states, Vayihi Or Ze Avraham. There was darkness in the world till Avraham came. He brought light to the world. And he recognized where the source of light comes from. And therefore he enacted this tefillah. It's a very deep concept. This is Avraham's tefillah. This was the Tomid Shel Shachar, the sacrifice of the morning. And this is the tefillah Shacharis. And this was the difference between Klal Yisrael and the nations. The nations prayed to the east because the sun was there. We prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the afternoon, there is a new phenomenon in the world. What is that? The sun reaches its fullness and then starts to set. Actually, as it starts to set, this denotes a weakness in the power of the sun. And that's why the nations of the world never served to the west, because that's where it sets. And the west is called Marev, because Marev is from the word Iruv, a mixture of darkness and light. The power of the light starts to cease. The nations of the world, they understood the West to be a weakness in the universe. Because the strongest power of the universe is the power of light, the power of the sun. All energy comes from the sun. The universe moves because of the sun. And im dumdumei chamo, as the sun starts to weaken, they recognize this to be a weakness in the universe. Actually, it's a strength in the universe. And Klal Yisrael recognized this. Why is it a strength in the universe? Because the Gemara says, why does the sun, it goes up in the east and then it sets, it goes down in the west? What is this denoting? It says this is denoting a servant who gets up to serve his master, and then a servant that bows, Kame Maria, bows to his master. When the sun is setting, he is bowing to his master. What is this denoting? This is denoting a strength in the universe. That the universe is not limited to the power of the sun, but to the contrary, the source of the power of the universe comes from the master of the sun. And at that point where the sun weakens, here we see the strength of the master. If someone had a very strong servant, if you never saw the master, you might think that he's the master, he's the king. But when you see him together with the king and he bows to the king, then you see that there's another power, a greater power. And this is what the afternoon designates. The weakness of the sun, but he's bowing before his master. This is something the nations of the world couldn't recognize, because they could only see as far as the sun and not further. But Klal Yisrael recognized this. This is why the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah tells us that during the great Simchas Beis HaShoeva, during the great celebration on Sukkot, so the entire night they would dance and celebrate. As dawn was coming, they would walk towards the Shari Mizrach, they would walk towards the gates of the east, where the sun began to rise. Hofchu Peneihem. Then they would turn their backs on the east. And they said that our fathers worshipped the east. We turn our backs on the east, and we worship towards the west. And Jews always worship towards the west, because the Beis HaMikdash was set where you came in at the east, but you went constantly higher and higher towards the west. Everything faced the west. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was in the west. And the whole world, Jews all over, would be mispalel towards the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was from east-west. Our fathers that did not understand this, they thought the world was limited to a physical realm. They worshipped the east. We worship the west, because we see that's where the sun's power ceases, begins to cease. And there we see that there's a greater power behind it. Now this was the Eis HaMincha, this was the afternoon. At that time of day, a sacrifice was enacted to recognize this, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bind the afternoon with the Almighty. And a tefillah was enacted. And that's the Tefillas Mincha. As the day is fading, the strength behind the universe is there. And this tefillah was the tefillah of Yitzchok Avinu. Yitzchok, who was very close to the Almighty. He had offered his life to the Almighty. Recognized this power beyond the physical limitation of the world. That's the Tfilas Mincha. And what is Tfilas Marev, the Laila? That's another phenomenon. This is another phenomenon altogether. At night, the sun completely ceases. It's not a weakening of the sun, but the sun disappears, and there is total darkness. And if the sun is the power of the physical world, so then the night is a dimension where the physical powers are brought to a bare minimum. And this is a dimension where the world is returned to the Almighty. An example. The Gemara says, "Le'ivra laila le'lishina." Night was created for sleep. What happens during one sleep? When a person sleeps, there is a dimension where his soul returns to the Almighty. Dovid HaMelech said in Tehillim, "Ki biyotcha afki druch esruchi." That when I sleep, I give my soul to you for safekeeping. And every morning when a person wakes up, the Gemara says he's kibiri chadosho. He's like a newborn again. His soul has returned. So we see the Almighty created the universe where its powers are during the day. At night, the world sleeps. Not only man sleeps. If man sleeps, the world sleeps. Because man is the world. He encompasses the world. So the world sleeps. If the world sleeps, this means that we have given the soul of the world to the Almighty for safekeeping. So this is another phenomenon, that the world comes to a standstill, the cessation of the physical powers of the world, and it's in the hand of the Almighty. And this is the greatest bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have returned ourselves to Him. And therefore, at this point also, there were sacrifices. These were the burnings of the sacrifices on the altar the entire night. And a tefillah was enacted, the tefillah smarif, to bind this part of the day also to the Almighty. And this was the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was the closest to the Almighty. As it states, Ishtam, he was the perfect man. And Surase Hoku Kalkisi Akovet, that his image is engraved right on the throne of the Almighty. He had come closest to the Almighty. And therefore this dimension, where the world is the closest to the Almighty, not where it's projected from the Almighty and it's working on its own steam, but it's returned to the Almighty, this was the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu. Now these are very deep concepts, but this gives us an inkling. This gives us an inkling of how the world is bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its entirety, in its morning, in its afternoon, in its night, through the sacrifices and through the tefillos. And this is the bond of the servant to the master. What this is enlightened to us, some of the questions we asked. We asked, what is the purpose of this tefillah? Why should a person come and beseech the Almighty? If it's something he deserves, so then even without the beseeching of the Almighty. And if he doesn't deserve it, so what will it do? And is he going to enact and affect a change in the Almighty? There's no change by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also, this is a service only for ulterior motives. And we were commanded not to serve for ulterior motives. The answer is the ultimate of the tefillah is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs what is being said to him or what is being given to him, but because of the bond which is created between the servant and the master. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all brocha. And he wants to give brocha to the people. This is what he created the world for. He created the world to give knowledge to people, and to give sustenance to people, and to give health to people, and to give children to people. But he can give this brocha only if people come close to the source of the brocha. If you want water from the well, you must drink from it. You must go drink from it. You cannot be far away from this water and expect to have it. And therefore he wants Yisrael to come close to him. Hashiveinu avinu l'seiris echo. Bring us close to you. If they will be close, then they will benefit from the brocha. If they're closer, to the source, they'll benefit even more, even greater, great, more, even greater. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants through the tefillahs, because through this, the heart of the servant comes to the master, and the master comes to the servant. And therefore, the person is not affecting a change by the Almighty. There was no change. Terem yikru bani yashma. Before you call out, I'm ready to give you. Except you're not calling out. You're not coming close. You're not coming to receive what I want to give you. You're too far away. And therefore, it's not possible to ask if he merits, then he should have without tefillah. If he's far away, he cannot get. If he doesn't merit, what will the tefillah do? The tefillah will create the bond. And through the bond, there becomes the oneness and the perfection. And from there comes all brocha. And therefore, it's not also possible to ask that this is a service which is conditional to receive reward. Every mitzvah that we do for the Almighty, we must do it because He commanded it, not to receive reward. But this is the exception. Tefillah, avoda, the essence of it is to receive reward. Because the essence of the servant is where he needs the master. If a servant does not need a master, then this means he's an entity by himself. There's an independent identification. He's an individual by himself, and then he's far away. This whole exercise is to create one from two. Therefore, there must be total reliance on the master. The very essence of tefillah and of avodah is to be mekabel pras. If a servant comes and he says, I am your servant, I have nothing, I must rely on you, this is servitude. This is the essence of avodah. This is brought out very keenly by the Chazal, the creation of the world. In Bereishis, Parshas Beis, Posuk Hei. States, V'chol siach asod terem yeh v'oretz, v'chol esev asod terem yitzmoch. When the Almighty created the world, everything was ready. The grass, the vegetation, and the trees. Everything was ready, but nothing had grown yet. Why? Because the Almighty did not bring the rains yet. It was already on the third day, but he did not bring the rains. Why didn't he bring the rains? Because man was not here yet. Odemain laveres Adoma, man was not here. Therefore he waited for man the sixth day and then brought the rains. So the Chazal explained why. Why couldn't he bring the rains before man was here? If everything was ready on the third day and as all we needed was rain to initiate the growth, so why didn't the Almighty bring the rain on the third day? Why did he keep the rains till the sixth day until man was here? So the Chazal tell us something very profound. Rashi brings, Lefi sho'od ma'in laveres adoma vein makir b'teivosin shel kshomim. Because if man wasn't here, then man would not recognize the goodness of the rains. Therefore he withheld the rains, and man was here, and then man saw, Shem Tzerech Le'olam, he saw the necessity of the rains, he spalal aleihem. So then man prayed to the Almighty for the rains, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them. He didn't bring the rains on the third day because he wanted man to be mispalal for the rains, to appeal for rains. Therefore he waited. What would be, I would bring rain on the third day, but there was no man here to appreciate it. See, he waited for man to be created and for man to see the shortness of the rain and the appeal for the rains, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the rains. He did not bring the rains immediately because he waited for the tefillahs of man. We see here HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give rains. Terem yikru bani yeshmo, before you call out, I'm ready. But I will give it only when you come close to me. If you're far away, I won't give it to you. What is the purpose of giving something to man when he doesn't recognize he needs it? He doesn't appreciate what he gets? And it doesn't bring him close to me? So therefore he withheld the rains. When man saw what he needed and what he was lacking, and therefore was mispalal, he appealed. And now this brought him close, then the rains came. So we see that not that man appeals for gifts and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give him gifts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give gifts to man right away, but on the condition that he'll come close to him. So he gave Yisrael the opportunity to be mispalel for what he needed. The fact is, he created a situation that he'll need. So he'll have to be mispalel and come close. Now that he's close, now I can give you. And this is what we said before. He created a situation of necessities by the Imos, by the matriarchs. He said that they're all beautiful, they're all wealthy. If they have children also, then they don't need me. See, he created such a situation, so they'll have to be mispalel. And through the tefillahs, they'll become close to him. Then now I'll give you. So it's not that the tefillahs affect the gifts, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds his gifts to affect the tefillahs, to affect the prayers, because he's not interested in the tefillahs. He's interested in the bond that's created by the tefillahs, by the avodah. It's a very, very deep concept. We have yet another very profound source that the sages tell us on this, and that is in Bishalach. When Klal Yisrael were leaving Egypt, and Parai was in hot pursuit, and they came to the sea, and they looked back, and they saw Parai and his army coming down on them. This is it, Shmeishu Dalit. Posuk Yud, Ufare he kriv, and Pare came close. Vayisu bnei Yisrael eseinehem, and Yisrael lifted their eyes, v'nei Mitzrayim neiseh acharehem, and Egypt was coming down upon them. Vayiru miod, and they became very frightened. Vayitzaku bnei Yisrael al Hashem, and they cried out to Hashem. The Chazal, the sages ask, what does it mean, Ufare he kriv? Parai came close. This is not the correct Hebrew. Hikriv means that he brought close. So what does it mean, Parai hikriv? He brought close. So the simple sense of the word is, should have said Parai korav. See, he came. Hikriv atzma minisamets lekadid. The simple sense means He forced himself to come close ahead of all of his soldiers. And he brought all his soldiers with him. But the Medrash tells us something else. The Medrash states in Parshas Chof Aleph, Os Hei, Shehikriv Es Yisrael. Pare Hikriv, Pare brought close, he brought Yisrael close. He brought Yisrael close to Tshuva. Omer Barachio, Rebbe Barachio said, Yofa Hoysa Akrovis Pare Yisrael Mikuf Tsemis Tfilais. Pare did more that day to bring Yisrael close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than 100 fast days or 100 prayers. Why? Because it states that they lifted up their eyes and they saw Pare. Doesn't mean that. They lifted up their eyes and they saw the Almighty. Vayitzaku el b'nei Yisrael, and they went and they were mispalel to Hashem. When they saw Pare coming down upon them, and when they saw the sea in front of them, and surrounded by the desert, and Pare behind them, they saw no way out. So Vayisu es einehem, they could look only upward. When they looked upward, Vayitzaku el Hashem, they cried to Hashem. They were forced to unite themselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who forced them? Pare. That's what it means, Pare Hikriv. Pare caused Yisrael to come close to Avinu Shebishamayim, to their Father in Heaven. Pare did more for them than 100 fast days or 100 tefillos. Because the V'yitzaku el Hashem, that they cried out to Hashem, that was their greatest tefillah. So what do we see? We see that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is not the tefillah, not the fast. He wants the hikriv, the korav, the closeness that's brought through the tefillah, through the need. And this is what Pare did. We should realize that this power of tefillah, even though every individual in the world has the right to be mispalo, the goyim, the nations of the world also, because it states, Ish Ish, L'Rabbeis Akum, Sheneidrim V'Neidvim, Korbones. If Goyim come and they want to bring sacrifices in our Beis Hamikdash, we have to accept them and offer their sacrifices. And it states, Zu Beis Tfilah L'Chol Amim, my house is a house of prayer for all nations. So tefillah is something which is given to everyone. But we should realize that the main privilege and responsibility of tefillah and avoda was given to Israel. And this is what is meant by tefillah yeshorim retzeinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of the yeshorim, of the upright. Yeshorim zu Yisrael. This refers to Yisrael who were nikra yeshurim. Israel were called Yeshurun, the upright. This was what the name of Yaakov was. Ish Tam V'Yosha. And that's for the reasons we gave. And we see this because they were the ones who led in the Beis Hamikdash. They were the ones who controlled the korbanos, the sacrifices. They were the ones who were mispalel three times every day. And 100 brachas a day, without exception. And why is this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested merely in the tefillah. He's interested in the servant coming close to the master, and the master uniting with the servant. And this is possible in its perfection only through Yisrael. Because there is no servant as Yisrael, And they are the Am Echod, Mi Ki Amcha Yisrael Goyochet Echod Boaz. They are the one nation who declares the oneness of the Almighty. And therefore Yisrael were given the schus where they can be Yodai Bechol Eis. They can come at any time El Shar HaMelech to the gate of the king. Bishael Sorchov, and they can ask for him, from him what he needs. And this schus comes from the Oves, from Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Because they were the ones who recognized the Almighty. They were the ones who served him. It was Avraham who was Hikar as Beire, recognized the Creator and brought the name of the Creator to the world. Yitzchok was the servant who gave his life to him. Yaakov was the perfect one who's engraved on his Kisei HaKoved, on his throne. They served him. They made him a master over the world. Avraham said that he was only known as a god of the heavens, not Elokeo Oretz, as a god of the land. I am the one who made him as a god of the land, because people did not know him before. And this is why when we're mispalel, we mention immediately the Oves, because they were the ones who paved the way of Avoda, of Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Tefillah Shishorim Ritzayna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Tefillah of Klal Yisrael, which brings the perfection in him. Since this is an Avedah Shebelev, this is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with lev, with heart, one must realize, it's very important, and unfortunately, we fail to realize it, that therefore the service must be with heart. If it's without heart, then it's not tefillah. If someone speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without heart, then this is not tefillah. These are words. This is lip service. But this is not the avodah. This avodah was to give one's heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he's bound to him, and the master is bound to the servant. Rachmona liba boy. The master is interested in the heart. And this means that tefillah must be an emotional experience. If it's not, it's not a tefillah. And this is what the Mishnah in Masechta Oves tells us. In Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Gimel, it states, Reb Shimon Aimer, Hevizoye b'krishma u'betfilo. A Jew must be very careful with krishma and tfilo. Shato mispalel al tas tfilos chekva. When one is davens, he should not make his tfilo into a keva. A keva means into a regular, routine, mechanical task. El rachamim v'tachnunim lifnei hamokem. But his tefillah must be an appeal. He must beseech his master for mercy and for grace and for chen. As it states, ki chanun v'rachum hu erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham aloro. You are chanun, you are good, you are graceful, you are compassionate. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, what does it mean? Kfa kol shetfilosei deima lov kemasa. If a tefillah is like something that a person has to do, the Mefarshim bring that even though every mitzvah we do, we must do it because we are obligated. If a tefillah is done because we are obligated, it's not a tefillah. If one davens because of a chayv, because he has to, that's not tefillah. Because tefillah has to be an appeal of a servant to a master. One must daven not because he has to, because it's an obligation. One must daven because he needs it. The Rambam brings in Hilchis Tefillah Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvov Kavonas Alev Ketzad. What does it mean a person should have heart in davening? Called tefillah she'ena bekavona ena tefillah. According to the basic halacha, if a person davens and he does not have intent of heart in the tefillah, it's not a tefillah. V'mispalo belekavona chezu mispalo bekavona. And the basic law is that if a person davens without intent, he has to daven again. Now we do not conduct ourselves in this manner exactly, because we lack intent of heart to a great degree. But it's important to know at least what the basic halacha is. Motzadaita mishubeshes velibay torud osa leili spalo. If a person is in a state of confusion, if he's in a state where he's not settled, according to the basic halacha, he was not allowed to daven. Therefore, he brings someone who just came in from a journey and is very unsettled or is tired, not allowed to daven. The Gemara brings where there were some, when they traveled, they wouldn't daven for 3 days until they were able to have liboy and heart in the tefillah. What does it mean that a person should have intent in his tefillahs? Shifanes libe mikola machshavos. He should empty from his mind all other thoughts. And he should realize that he is standing before the Almighty, the King of all kings. Therefore, he says, a person before he davens, he should sit a bit. He should sit for a minute. He shouldn't rush right in and daven. He first should sit a bit, in order that he can arouse in himself the proper preparation. Then he should daven with nachas ubetachnunim, with an appeal to the master of the world. He should not make his tefillah like something he has to do. He's davening because he has to do it. And once he's finished, then he's finished, like he's carrying a heavy burden. So you want to get rid of it quickly. And as soon as you finish, you drop it. Therefore, tzorech leishev me'at achrat tefillah. Therefore, the halacha is also that when you finish davening, you should not immediately rush away, but you should sit for a minute afterwards. If you see there are people who conduct themselves in that manner, they'll never leave a shul without sitting down first. Where does this come from? Because chassidim arishenim are yeshein shoachas kedem tefillah v'shoachas lachat tefillah u'ma'arichin betefillah shoah. The early righteous people, they used to prepare themselves for an hour before tefillah and for an hour after tefillah. And they used to daven for an hour. Now we can't do that. Therefore it's brought, but at least we shouldn't rush right into the shul or right into the base of medrash and daven. And when we finish, we rush right out. That's not daven. Therefore we must come in and stop a minute, sit down for a minute. The Gemara says that you should start davening mitech divrei Torah from divrei Torah if possible. settle ourselves, then we daven. And it must be benachas, slowly. Ubitachnunim, with an appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beseeching him, otherwise it's not a tefillah. Not because it's a shachris, we have to daven, it's a mincha, we have to daven, that's not a tefillah. And then when we finish, not allowed to rush away, because that shows that there was a heavy pack on your shoulder, and you drop it like a hot potato. But you're supposed to sit another minute. This is the Hanogas HaTfilah. V'chein ein eindin dispala lemitei schaik. One should not daven from a frivolous mood, or kalis reish, or mitei sicho. If one is holding in a conversation with someone else, he shouldn't go immediately to daven, because he has these things on his mind. Or if one just had a quarrel, or if one is upset and angry, he must not go to daven. But he should learn a bit of Torah and then daven. These are a few halachos in Ketzad Kavonis Halev. What does it mean, Kavonis Halev? With Rosh Hashanah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he becomes the Melech Al Kol HaElam. It's the time of the Hisgalus, of the revelation of his kingship, because that's when he comes to judge all people as a king judges his people. And that's the time when the bond is created and strengthened between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. States Bachodesh HaShvi'i, in the seventh month, even though Tishrei is the first month, but it's the seventh month from Nisan. And the seventh is an especially special number. And the world is elevated, because the king is coming to judge his world. He's coming to take his world in hand. And just as he comes close to the world comes close to him. And this is through the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. Tshuva tefillah tzedaka, ma'avirin es rei agzeira. And the ultimate of this tefillah is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the words, or he needs the gifts, or anything else that people bring to him. He needs the Eved, the servant. This is the Avoda, where the person is totally reliant on the master. And in this way, the servant becomes a servant and the master becomes a master. And if the servants are the Yeshorim of Yisrael, then not only does the master become a master, but he becomes the one and perfect king of all kings over the entire world. And the bond is complete. And all brochas that come to people come from the source of the brocha. And through the tefillahs, man can attach himself to his master, where they become one. But this is if it's derech tachnunim verachamim. If he's mispalel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show grace on us, should show compassion towards us, because we cannot stand without him, and all of our needs come only through him. This is the great Avodas HaTfilah. Now we can understand also a little more why there was so much objection to the Tfilah Machnisei Rachamim, that the angels will carry our prayers to the Almighty. We don't need angels to carry our prayers to the Almighty. This was a schus that Klal Yisrael has from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. May we all be zeicher to be successful in our Avodas HaTfilah, in coming close to the source of the world, where we can be mamlich, bring the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, and then see the great bracha filling all of our needs, and that we should have a ksiva v'chasima tova and a geula v'yeshua l'chol beis Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.